fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. You probably heard Peter Yarrow sing his famous song with Peter, Paul, and Mary, but you might not have heard the same tune played on harmonica by Dave Obey, the once powerful chair of the House Appropriations Committee. It's a different side of Dave Obey.
The kind of music I like is Burl Ives, the Weavers, with Pete Seeger and his people. I've played with the Chad Mitchell Trio. I've played with Nancy Griffith, Harry Belafonte, and a number of others.
And now Dave Obey will perform with Peter Yarrow Thursday night at his alma mater, UW Marathon County in Wausau. Obey says even he doesn't know what to expect.
Well, that's up to Peter. I mean, when we were at Chippewa Falls, we practiced three songs. And then when he called me up on stage, the songs he decided to play were not the ones that we had practiced.
Thursday's concert will raise funds for a civic resource center to house Obey's congressional papers and perhaps provide some inspiration.
Young people who wonder, how do you get involved in politics? Is it worth it? How do I learn the ropes? That's the kind of stuff I'd like students to be able to learn. And I would also like to see them have an appreciation for the political history of the state.
And if you're building a civic resource center, you might want to start with a hammer. In Wausau, I'm Glenn Mobert for Wisconsin Public Radio News. And that concert is tonight at 7:30, right across the hallway from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in the Center for Civic Engagement on the UW Marathon County campus. There are still tickets available. We hope to see you there. There will be a reception after the show. And we have with us right now the guests of honor, Peter Yarrow and Dave Obey. They're going to be talking about music, politics, current events, the 60s, and about Peter's project, Operation Respect, with its message of tolerance and anti-bullying. And in a very special treat, they will be performing some live music for you right here in our Wisconsin Public Radio studios. If you'd like to give us a call with questions or comments for Peter or Dave, the number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Well, how long have you guys known each other?
Oh, my goodness, 20 years anyhow.
Probably.
Yeah. Because when you're an activist folk singer, and you're not confined to just movement efforts, you realize that ultimately you have to lock arms with and engage with people who are in public office, who are sympathetic to the point of view you're trying to espouse. And for Peter, Paul, and Mary, who always in our own hearts felt we were trying to stick up for what is best in America, we would look for those people who did that in Congress, and there was nobody more a cast from that particular perspective than the noble Congressman David Obey, who was indeed, as you've mentioned, had a very powerful position in that arena, and continues to have an influence, however, not in Congress.
Now, what can people expect at the concert tonight? Although Dave already told us he doesn't know what's going to happen.
I don't know. He should tell you what you might not expect.
Well, I really don't know. I'm sure that we'll hear a lot of the old Peter, Paul, and Mary favorites. And I think you'll also hear quite a bit from Peter about events in the country recently that destroyed the lives of a lot of kids and a lot of families. And I think he'll also be talking about his anti-bullying campaign, which ought to be understood and appreciated everywhere around the country.
Now, as we said in the introduction, this is a benefit to finish the Civic Resource Center here in the Center for Civic Engagement. At your alma mater, by the way, UW Marathon County. This is going to be nonpartisan, right?
Sure. When I first set foot on this campus back in the pre-Cambrian era, there were 259 students here.
Oh, is that right?
There are a lot more students here today, as you know. And I learned a lot of issues by listening to faculty members debate each other here in what we called Friday Forum. I would hope that tradition would be carried on here. I think it's also going to be useful to have an access point for students to access my congressional papers,
mm-hmm.
so that they can do research on not only what decisions were made, but why people made them, and what was the turmoil along the way, so that they gain an appreciation for just how tough it can sometimes be to get something good done in the Congress.
Well, it's certainly tough to get something of any kind done in the Congress that we've got right now.
Sure is.
When did you pick up the harmonica, Dave?
My dad played the harmonica in an... I don't know if you remember the Harmonic Cats. They were a harmonica group back in the 50s. And my dad and two other fellows played in a similar group. They would go around the Wisconsin River Valley at these local talent shows. And I picked it up from him. He taught me how to play Silent Night for my mother as a Christmas present when I was about 9. And then when I was in 7th grade, frankly, I skipped school about 2 days out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
I was a troubled kid. And my mother would push me on the school bus. I lived out on Highway 29. I'd get off the bus. When I got into town, I'd walk back, grab my dog, go out and hide out in a little shelter house that I'd built in the woods, unbeknown to my parents. And I would read and play the harmonica. That's how I learned.
And you actually led your own bluegrass band, the Capital Offenses.
Well, I don't know if I'd say I led it, but I'd never played bluegrass. And one night, I'd hired a fellow by the name of Scott Lilly to serve as a legislative assistant. He knew I played the harmonica, but in those days I played just popular or classical. And he said, you know, we got a band. Why don't you come on over tonight and play? And I said, well, I don't know that kind of music. He says, oh, come on, it's nothing. I went over there, and I met two people, Floyd Westerman, who you may remember in Dances with Fools. He played the old tribal chief.
Played the chief, right.
Yeah. And also a little black lady by the name of Libby Cotton.
Freight Train, Freight Train.
Yep. And she played the guitar left-handed, and by the end of the evening, I was hooked on that kind of music. And so I played with a number of my friends. And as my two boys got old enough to join in, they joined the band as well.
Well, Peter,
we call ourselves the Capital Offenses.
Peter, you covered Freight Train with Peter, Paul, and Mary, and the link here seems to be that music is something that brings people together. I know Pete Seeger was the publisher of a magazine or a newsletter called Sing Out. And the idea is if you could get more people singing together, maybe we could get more people cooperating together.
Well, undoubtedly that is and was the premise of my entire career with Peter, Paul, and Mary. And Mary used to call us Seeger's Raiders. She was herself... a young teenager when she was in a group called the Song Swappers that recorded with Pete. They were the Weavers and Pete, mm-hmm. as they were for David Obie, were the real role models of how you could combine political advocacy and activism with music. And the premise was simply this, and it remains the case, that when people sing together and play together, they together create something that could not be produced by an individual on stage or even a group on stage. If it's everybody sharing it in the room, whether that room is a small room like this,
mm-hmm.
or it's a 250,000 people like it was at the March on Washington, in 1963, where Peter, Paul, and Mary sang If I Had a Hammer and Blowing in the Wind, and everybody's participating, at the end of the song, you say, I helped to create that very special, magical moment.
Right.
And it is my belief that that phenomenon of singing together from the heart had a lot to do with connecting people in their hearts and in their determination to fulfill the promises and the dreams of the civil rights movement. And today, it is my belief that if David Obey and I were to open congressional session in Washington and sing one of the songs that we're going to be singing today with you for 1 week, instead of the prayer, have a song where everybody sings. And I know I've sung before the Republican and the Democratic congressional caucuses, and they all sang that we would have greater comity, we would have a better policies that emerge. This is not a benign activity. This is a powerful way of breaking down barriers and finding the humanity behind the rhetoric and getting rid of the gridlock that forces people into hatred and fear and rejection of one another.
You've been very outspoken about the Newtown shootings. You recently held a free concert for the Sandy Hook families, the teachers and the first responders. Tell us about that.
Well, I was on the way back from Ukraine when where we were establishing an outreach with a program called Don't Laugh at Me, which is kind of the anthem of a school-based effort to create environments for children that are caring, loving, accepting, respectful, and bully-free and ridicule-free. And we're in many, many countries, and I was shocked to hear of this brutality in this in Newtown. And as soon as I got home, I got a call, because we've been working in Operation Respect in that state for over 10 years.
Operation Respect is the organization that you started.
That disseminates the program Don't Laugh at Me. And I got a call saying, you've got to do a concert, not to raise money. There are a lot of people raising money, and a lot of people did raise money, and there was money that's needed, and hopefully soon they'll distribute it. You know, there's a logjam there, which happened in Aurora. It happened in the case of Columbine, etc. And it's a very controversial thing. But ours was a free concert. It was for the community. It was called a concert of caring, healing, and togetherness. And it was extraordinary. It was a gathering of people whose pain and grief flowed without constraint, but also a gathering of 400 people whose determination to fulfill what they call the Sandy Hook Promise, Sandy Hook Elementary being the school that was attacked by this pathological a young man who killed 26 people.
Now, you were quoted as saying, we don't want Newtown to be remembered as a place where tragedy occurred, but a place that is the genesis of real change in America. Explain that.
That is the essence of the Sandy Hook Promise. Quoting that was my saying that I am supporting this premise. They say we do not want to be remembered for the murder, the pain, and the tragedy. We want to be remembered as the place that catalyzed action in America to care about its children, to care about them enough to make sure that they are in an environment whereby they are not frightened to go to school. If they're in a troubled period of their life, they are not they're not ostracized, they're not ridiculed, they're not humiliated, they're not put down and bullied. Because when they are, they will hurt themselves. I just was on the phone with a friend from Newtown today, and an 8-year-old child took his life yesterday. And this town has had enough tragedy. It's not just about getting the guns out of the hands of those who might harm children. It's about getting the painful cruelty that is being expressed and exchanged among children. By the way, it's not just a kid's problem. It's all over society. Ridicule is a sport. Look at television. Mm-hmm. Listen to not your talk show, but listen to the talk shows where that's funny to ridicule and demean and speak cruelly of other human beings. We live in a very, very difficult time where the heart of America has been attacked by a terrible illness. And what I am working on, and I just did a Bill Moyers interview on Tuesday with Francine and her husband, David Wheeler. Francine delivered the presidential address the time before last. She lost her son. And she is a great singer. She's part of the Newtown Flagpole Cafe, which is an ensemble that does a weekly radio show. And I had sung with her. And we must understand that, and you'll see this, just as we're talking about it now, we must make sure that those children that are in the schools do not reiterate the cruelty that we see in general society now. And if we start them early enough, we can succeed. And music can be a big help to doing that.
Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, they're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me.
E-flat.
I'm the beggar on the corner. You pass me on the street.
And I wouldn't be out here begging if I had enough to eat.
And don't think I don't notice
that our eyes never meet.
Don't laugh at me.
Don't call me names.
Don't get
your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me.
I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm short, I'm tall,
I'm deaf, I'm blind, hey, aren't we all?
Don't laugh at me.
Don't call me names. In God's eyes, we're all the same.
Someday we'll all have
perfect wings.
Don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me.
Peter, Paul, and Mary, and here live in our studio, Peter Yarrow and Dave Obey on harmonica. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, building the local economy and strengthening the community by making local business everybody's business. More about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We've got a very special show right now with Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary and former Congressman Dave Obey, a legendary congressman and a legendary musician, and they will be performing tonight at 7:30 at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater on Dave's old campus, UW Marathon County. It's all to create a civic resource center to house his congressional papers, and there are still tickets available. So we'd love to see you out there. I want to go to the phones right now. We have Brad in Wisconsin Rapids who's been waiting patiently. Brad, you're on Route 51 with Dave and Peter.
Hi there. I had a comment and question. My comment was people with disabilities and chronic illness are forgotten, bullied, and discriminated against quite a bit, and perhaps Peter might consider writing a song about them. And my question is, how do I best get a politician to take action on an issue? For years I've been trying to get them to do that, and I just keep getting blown off. And I'm wondering, is there a tactic that Dave or Peter know to get them to do more than just extend sympathy to me, but to actually take action?
Now, Peter, you get the first part of the question. Dave, you get the second part.
I think that you should, when you hear the Don't Laugh at Me song, it's got an extra part in it that's kind of broadens the base of what has been said. And you realize that people with disabilities are very much a part of the people who are marginalized, although less so, certainly, since the Americans with Disabilities Act. But it's a process now that we're going through to restore the empathy and the compassion in the United States, not just for people with disabilities, but just categorically. As a matter of fact, the gift to people is to be able to help, to be able to be of service to one another. That's really where we feel our hearts are filled. And young people don't get that. They're not educated to understand that. Later in life, when people get old. Now, chronologically, I'm old, but I'm 74, going to be 75 very shortly, and so is David Obey. But the point is, because I feel I have a meaning, I can give. I have meaning in my life, and when people, I'll tell you a quick story. There was a child who was born with a serious cancer, and a principal who won a Principal of the Year award was at the school, and she got that child enrolled when he was in nursery school. And that school went all the way through high school. Well, the child was severely compromised by that cancer, and when the child was in third grade and beloved by all the people who all took care of that child, it got the cancer returned, and the child got up in front of the student body and explained what was happening and demonstrated his prosthetic deals that he had to handle. And then when that child passed away, the husband of the principal, who happened to be a landscape architect, put a garden out in back, a place that was dedicated to the child. And that the child put his hand in the concrete. He was, just a third grader. And now, through these years, those kids that loved that child, who were brought together in their heart by virtue of the fact that they were helping that child through his difficult times and loved him simply because they loved him, they came and they put their hand on top of that little hand and had that moment to remember him and to just witness their own feelings about it. The population with disabilities can be a powerful force to restore our humanity. But let me play this for you. It says, I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm short, I'm tall, I'm deaf, I'm blind. Hey, aren't we all? I'm disabled. Is anybody perfect? I'm black, I'm white, and I am brown. So that's an additional piece to the song. And it's all these people that are mentioned have to be respected and loved and cherished. And when we do that, our lives become colorful and meaningful and deep. It is when we give, and I don't mean it sounds Pollyanna to you, I know, that's when we really receive the stuff of life. It's when David Opie is in public service.
Well, let's answer the second part of the question, Peter. Dave, how do you get through to Congress? How do you get through to political figures when they turn a blind eye?
Well, I think people need to understand, and let's be frank, everybody wants people to be objective. Nobody in this life is objective. Everybody has their biases. Everybody has their priorities. And so the key, as far as I'm concerned, is to make sure that you elect people to public office in the first place who have the values that will place aid to the disabled, for instance, ahead of a lot of other lesser values. And so it is very hard to convert a person if they're elected and they bring a certain set of viewpoints to Washington or to Madison. It's very hard to change somebody's mind. So what you need to do, in my view, is select candidates who have the right values in the first place. So
that's
a lot easier.
I want to play a portion here of a one of your songs, Peter, that I think it's the best thing you've ever written. Of course, it's my opinion. The Great Mandela, and this is a version that you performed with Richie Havens, who we just lost.
Listen, Father, I will never kill another. He thinks he's better than his brother that died. What the hell does he think he's doing to his father who brought him upright? Take your place on the Great Mandela as it moves through your brief moment of time. Win or lose now, you must choose now. And if you lose, you're only losing your life.
Peter, what do you remember about Richie Havens?
You know, I was just two nights ago at the winery in New York when I saw Nancy, his wife, and there were a whole bunch of us who loved Richie, who gathered together and said hello to each other. And there was, you know, he used to wear all these beads and turquoise around his neck and other kind of signals of that era, mm-hmm, of emergence where people wore such things, and he never stopped identifying with that time or wearing those rings and those necklaces.
I remember meeting him a number of years ago, and I asked him about the 60s, and he said the 60s were educational.
Well, they were educational in the finest sense, in that people cast off these perspectives that were so anachronistic about the way people should behave towards one another. This is the way a man and a woman should behave. and this is the way a woman has to get her way by being cute and by being manipulative, and this is the way you look at a person of color, and this is the way, this is what is important, this is money and status, and these are the fraternity systems. All of that was re-examined, and that is what education is, when you re-examine with the kind of passion and honesty what you're living by. And that was a huge change at that time. And Richie Havens was a part of it, and Peter Paul Mary, part of it.
You guys were really scary to a lot of people back then. Let me share a story with you. I got your first record album when I must have been 11 or 12 years old. When did it come out? Was that 62 or 63?
62, yeah.
It was before the Beatles. Mm-hmm. And if you remember all the pablum that was on Top 40 radio at the time, and this was very different, but then that album cover. Now, my mom bought it for me. It was the first record I ever owned. And I remember very clearly her getting a lot of flack from our middle-class, conservative, suburban neighbors, especially for that cover. You've got three beatniks there, two guys with beards and a blonde standing in front of a brick wall with graffiti. And I remember somebody saying to my mom, the two of you, you and Paul, look like Vladimir Lenin with those beards. And then my father, who was a Goldwater Republican, wasn't really happy that the album contained two songs written by Pete Seeger, who was still on the blacklist at the time.
Yes, indeed. Well, the truth of the matter is that that kind of objection to Peter Paul Mary quickly eroded because the culture did turn, and America in general embraced the premises of those songs. We became a nation committed to the civil rights movement on balance. I mean, certainly you never have 100% of the people. Then and that was a cataclysmic time of a lot of young people going to Mississippi and Alabama and registering voters, and then They some of them were killed. Peter, Paul, and Mary sang at the grave site of Andrew Goodman, Cheney, and Schwerner, that were killed.
How do you react right now to the various measures that are out there to restrict voting? Voter ID laws, redistricting that puts politicians in safe districts, eliminating early voting, keeping the League of Women Voters from conducting voter registration drives in places like Florida, long lines at the polls. But only in poor neighborhoods, not in rich affluent neighborhoods.
Sure. Well, you know, David should answer that too. But from my way of thinking, we have the continuing struggle. We didn't win it all. We have the cradle-to-jail pipeline for young black Americans and a huge industry with a huge lobbying power in the prison system. And we have bias and racism that has reared its very ugly head. We also have these attempts to bias congressional deliberations and policy, not only in the way you just described by restrictions, but also by the influence of money. Because of the Roberts Court saying that you can.
Well, let's let Dave weigh in on this, since he spent, 41 years? How many years in Congress, Dave?
About 100,000.
and very quickly, because we're running out of time and I want to play some live music.
We should talk for the next 6 hours now.
Look, the.
You opened up a can of worms.
I mean, it's one thing to differ with somebody on substance. You can argue about what your defense policy ought to be, what your education policy ought to be. But when you start messing around with people's right to vote, that's going to the heart of the Constitution. And as far as I'm concerned, that should not, that should not be tolerated. And I think it ought to be an impeachable offense for any politician to try to limit people's access to the ballot box.
Dave Obey and Peter Yarrow, they will be performing tonight at 7:30 right across the hallway from this studio in the Center for Civic Engagement Theater. There are still tickets available. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. When we come back, Dave and Peter are going to do some live music for you. I'm even going to sit in on guitar. So hold on. We'll be right back after this.
He that gets hurt will be he who has told. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls for the time.
Glenn Moberg, we're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with Peter Yarrow and Dave Obey, and we're going to play some live music for you. Peter?
Well, I think we should start with a song that I used to dedicate to people that I loved and honored and who were my heroes, like Allard Lewenstein, who was a great member of Congress, and he had the courage to stand up in the face of those who opposed and believe in what he believed in. David Obey is that kind of person too. Gene McCarthy, I married his niece, Senator Gene McCarthy, who was a candidate for president of the United States in the primaries in 1968. When you bet on Stewball, as in this song, you say, I don't care if they're betting on the gray and the mare. I love this horse. I'm going to bet on this horse. And so this is in the key of F, and we can do it together. Oh, Stewball was a racehorse. Wish he were mine. He never drank water. He always drank wine. His bridle was silver. His mane it was gold. And the worth of his saddle has never been told. Oh, the fairgrounds were crowded. Stewball was there. But the betting was heavy on the bay and the mare. As they were approaching, about halfway around, the gray mare she stumbled and fell to the ground. Yes, and way out yonder, ahead of them all, came a prancing and a dancing, my noble Stewball, David Obey on the harmonica. I'd be a free man today. That hoot owl, she hollered, and the turtle dove she moaned. I'm a poor boy in trouble. I'm a long way from home. But my stew ball was a racehorse. Oh Lord, I wish he were mine. He never drank water. He always drank wine. Yay! And now we're going to sing In the Sea. We're going to sing Blowing in the Wind, one of the two songs Peter, Paul, Mary sang at the March on Washington in 1963 that is still as relevant as ever. And at that gathering of the Newtown folks, Francine Wheeler powerfully sang the line, how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? But she wasn't referring to the state of war between countries. She's talking about that gun. By the way, you know that the shooter was bullied when he went to Sandy Hook School. That was revealed recently. You have to realize when these kids are in trouble, you have to help them or they will hurt themselves or others. And then if you're watching them, you can intervene. So this is about civil rights. It's about peace. It's about humanity. And it's about empathy and caring and fulfilling the Sandy Hook promise. Must a man walk down before they call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. David Owen. Thank you. How many times can a man look up before he can see the sky? Listen, how many years must one man have before he can hear people cry? And how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. The answer, my friend,
is
blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. That's good picking, brother.
Thank you.
Good picking.
Thank you, Peter.
So we end now with the other song, Still Is As Powerful As Ever, from that march written by Pete Seeger and Lee Hayes, another member of the Weavers. And this song gives you, it answers the question it asks. It says, you want to say, well, what is that hammer? What is that bell? Well, what is the danger when you hammer out danger and you ring out a warning? The danger is that we won't care about each other. If we care about each other, we'll make good laws. So it all starts with our taking care of one another, our loving one another, if you will. And out of that grows good policy, fairness, equity, honesty, but it starts in the hearts. And this is that wonderful song, If I Had a Hammer. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, in the evening, all over this land. Hammer out danger, a warning. I'd hammer out love, brothers and sisters, all over this land. Ooh, ooh, ooh. If I had a bell, ring it in the morning, ring it in the evening, all over this land. Ring it out danger, ring out a warning. Love between brothers and sisters, oh, all over this land, 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 land. Ooh, ooh, ooh. If I had a song,
sing it in the morning,
I'd sing it in the morning,
sing it in the evening,
sing it in the evening,
all over this land,
all over this land.
I'd sing out danger, I'd sing out a warning, I'd sing out love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land,
land, land, land. Ooh, David Ovid.
I've got a bell,
And I got a song to sing all over this land.
It's a hammer of justice.
Hammer of justice.
It's a bell of
freedom. Bell of freedom.
It's a song about love between my brothers and my sisters
all over this
Peter Yarrow, Dave Olby, and yours truly. And
yours truly picking away.
Peter and Dave will be appearing tonight in just an hour and a half at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater, UW Marathon County. Thanks for listening to this special edition of Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. And we hope to see you there. There are still tickets available. It goes for a good cause tonight at 7:30 at UW Marathon County. Good night,
picking,
everybody.
Glenn. Good picking.
I'd have right a warning.